Hebrews 11 and verse number 7. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. We know Hebrews 11 is known as the faith chapter. Some call it Heroes of Faith because it lists all of the great patriarchs and a lot of great men and women who functioned by faith. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Amen. And we go back to the book of Genesis chapter 6. You read a little more of the account of the life of Noah and why he's an important Bible character. Let's read here in Genesis 6 and verse number 1. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But, here's the important verse right here. They're all important, but this is the key verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing to know that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God is watching what's going on, and he knows everything that's going on in your life and in my life. He's fully aware of it, and he is moving in behalf of his people. Now, the story of Noah has been told more as a children's story, so much that it's almost like that it's not real, like it's a fairy tale or a myth to some, especially those that are in the secular world. They have made terrible fun of Ken Ham and his building of the Ark Encounter up at Williamstown, Kentucky, and made fun of him and made fun of that whole endeavor, everything that he has done, including the Creation Museum and all that he's done up there, all to try to destroy the truth of Scripture, to destroy the important message of the life of Noah and how that God worked in his life. They even put out some news reports in the Cincinnati newspaper saying that they were going down financially, they were collapsing, they were not going to be able to survive, and that they were having hardly any visitors to the Ark Encounter, which was all a huge lie. Since they opened, they have had over 6 million visitors in the first 2 years. They're averaging 3 million visitors to the Ark Encounter every year. And it's not collapsing, it's growing. They're expanding it. And so all of that is just the secular news media's way of trying to destroy the truth and the things that are being represented there. But you know what's important, and I'm of... whenever I read or study the Bible, I'm always saying, what about me? What is this saying to me? What is this saying to us? Why is this message in the Bible? Why is it important? And a key verse about Noah is in Matthew 24. Now we know that the life and the experience of Noah, the building of the ark, the flood, and all of that, we know that it was confirmed by several of the disciples and Jesus himself speaking of Noah. And so it's not a fairy tale. It's not something that is not based in reality. It's the Word of God. And there's a message for us. As in the days of Noah, Matthew 24, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So we need to take a look at the scripture and the life of Noah and the experience of Noah and see the parallel between what was going on then and what's going on now in these last days. And as it was in the days of Noah, so is it today. And we're going to look at that here tonight. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Now it's important for us to think about the reality of the times that we're living in right now. We are in the last of the last days. We are living in the last moments of this church age. And we need to be aware of that. And the experience of Noah and what was going on in the days of Noah, for Jesus to say, just like it was then, so shall it be in the days just preceding the coming of the Lord. So we need to look at this for just a few minutes here tonight and just realize that this message is a message that we need to pay attention to for the times that we're living in right now. Amen? Everybody with me? Nobody's asleep yet? You're wide awake? All right. Praise the Lord. Now the Bible says they were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying and giving in marriage. And what's wrong with that? That sounds pretty normal, doesn't it? Well, it was not. Nothing sinful about what they were doing. That's pretty much a normal life. The issue was not that they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. The issue was they knew not until the flood came. It just is saying that they were living a life without any thought of consequences or thought of the judgment of God. Do you know that it's an important thing that we live with the understanding that if we disobey God, we will face the consequences for our disobedience? People who go against the Word of God, who dishonor God, disobey the voice of the Lord, we will face the consequences. But this is a generation right now, just like it was in the days of Noah. They're going on with the routine of life, and they're not even thinking about the fact that they are one day going to stand before God and give an account of themselves. They're living without any thought of judgment or any thought of the consequences of the life that they're living. Most people are able to say, well, I'm an atheist, I'm an agnostic, and I just believe when you come to the end of your life, it's over, and you don't have to worry about anything that's going to happen after you die. But even those who say they believe that, I'm convinced that they are dealing with a very important nagging voice inside of them, their conscience, the Spirit of God that is there reminding them of the fact that we are all one day going to stand before God, and we're all one day going to give an account of ourself. One of the things that's very much a part of this generation that we're living in before the coming of the Lord is people, they want to live an autonomous life. They want to live a life by and just say, well, I want to govern my own life. I want to do what I want to do. But the Bible says one day we're going to give an account. That's why we're instructed in the Word of God to be a people who live our lives out now in accountability. Amen? Amen. Children need to be accountable to their parents. Amen? And husbands and wives need to be accountable to each other. And that's in the family and on your job. You have a responsibility to be accountable to those who are your employers and those that you work for. We are to live out our lives with the understanding that we are accountable in this world. And it's all a practice. It's all a lesson in learning the fact that one day we're going to stand before God and give an account of ourselves. Amen. The book of Judges, every man did with that which was right in his own eyes. Can you imagine the havoc, the destruction in a society if everybody does what is right in their own eyes? I don't know about you, but I have seen some of these YouTube videos where people get pulled over by the police. I understand there are a few policemen that are probably, you know, not on the up and up. But I believe we ought to support law enforcement. We ought to be behind law enforcement. And I've seen some of these YouTube videos where a police officer pulls someone over and they roll their window down about that far, and they're videoing the police officer and they're arguing with them and saying things like, I don't have to give you my driver's license. I know what my rights are. I don't have to give you my insurance. I don't have to answer to you. And argue with them all the time. The officer is having to remain calm and collected and saying, sir, I need to see your driver's license. I need to see your insurance verification. That's the society that we live in today. That people do not want to live under accountability. You don't want to be accountable in your family. People don't want to be accountable on their jobs. They don't want to be accountable in the church. They just don't want to live accountable. They want to live an autonomous life, self-governed, just like they did in the days of the judges when they did that which was right in their own eyes. And the scripture says, they knew not until the flood came. They were living their life without any thought of the fact that judgment was coming. They were just living and they weren't even considering the fact. You say, well, did anybody tell them? Oh, yeah. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And for 120 years, not only was he building this monstrosity of an ark in plain sight, but he was a preacher of righteousness and preached to that generation. And they had to ignore what God was saying to them in that generation. So one of the signs and one of the things that's evident concerning these last days, one of the parallels to the days of Noah and the days that we're living in, is the fact that people are living out their life without any thought of the consequences or of the judgment of God that is coming. Everybody here in this building here tonight, one day we're all going to stand before God and give an account of ourselves. Wow. That's a pretty sobering thought, isn't it? Even your words are going to be held accountable. Your words and your deeds and your actions and everything that you do, you're going to give an account one of these days before God. Isn't that going to be a fearful day? When you stand before God and give an account of the deeds of the flesh, when you have to explain to God, well, I did this because of this. And I can't imagine trying to come up with excuses, standing in the presence of Almighty God. But we're all going to stand before the Lord. Romans 14 and 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every deed, every idle word, we all must give an account unto the Lord. And that's a parallel of the days of Noah. Another parallel is also in this text in Genesis 6 and 2. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. They took them wives of all which they chose. Now the sons of God, any place in the scripture where you see that phrase, the sons of God, some people explain that away as that it's the godly line of Seth, and I don't believe that. I believe that the sons of God, in many places in the scriptures, referring to angelic beings, And I believe that in this case, that it was angelic beings, fallen angels. And you say, well, how can that be? Because we know that angels, they don't marry and they are not to be given in marriage, according to the scripture. That was the perimeter that God has established for these demon forces, these fallen angels. But we also know that, and the second point here is that one of the characteristics of these last days that are like the days of Noah is this increase in demonic activity, increase of demon activity in our world today. And so these sons of God, they're several places in the scripture are referred to as angels or fallen angels or demon forces. And that the scripture says that the sons of God saw these women and was attracted to them. And when you read on down here, they literally married them and had offspring by them. Now, that's a pretty shocking thing to consider, isn't it? It really is. You say, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound normal. No. Let me read you a verse in the book of Jude, chapter 1. It says, the angels which kept not their first estate. The phrase there is talking about they didn't stay in the perimeters that God had set up for them or established for them. And that was that angels were not to marry or to intermarry that they didn't marry at all. But they left their first estate, or the sphere that they were to be active in. You know, God is, even though demon forces are at work in the world today, you can be comforted in knowing that God is in control of what's going on. He's in control. They kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, it says. This is Jude 1 and 6. And he hath reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of that great day. And so those demon forces, those fallen angels, they left the place, the sphere that they were supposed to be in, and they moved out of that here in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and were attracted to the fair women of that day. Now, that's not a common thing today, but that's what happened. And some of you may disagree with me, and that's okay. You can do that. I'm the one that gets to be up here talking, so I can tell you what I think. Jude chapter 1 and verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in the matter, giving themselves over to fornication. You see, there in the judgment that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah, it was natural, normal men who were lusting after angelic beings. But now it's reversed in Genesis chapter 6. And it is, instead, it is these angelic falling demons that are attracted and drawn to these daughters of men. Now, why is that an issue? Why is it something important for us to talk about? We're living in a world right now that is saturated with demonic activity. Everywhere we look, and in most cases in our world, it's in every area of our world today, demon forces are at work. Now, I don't see a demon behind everything, but I'm telling you, folks, we're living in the last days, and we need to recognize that there is an increase in the last days in demon forces working against the church and against the people of God, and to try to wreak havoc and to bring destruction. And we need to understand that behind it is the work of the enemy. Amen. The work of the enemy. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Thank God for that. It also says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We do have an adversary, and he is stepping up his efforts in these last days. Yes, he is. He is stepping up his activity to try to hinder and to stop the work of the Lord, to stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, in our political world, there's a whole lot of demonic activity going on. A whole lot of things that are going on in our society, in our culture today, that it's demon-inspired. Much of the entertainment and the things that are being promoted through TV and movies and things of this sort, behind much of it are demon forces trying to speak into this generation, trying to get a hold of the minds and the hearts of people. So we need to understand that. We need to recognize that we are dealing in these last days with an increase of demonic activity. And how do we counter that? You cannot deal with the forces of wickedness except as a person filled with the Spirit. You have to be a spiritual being. You have to be a person filled with the Holy Ghost, walking in the Spirit. You can't counter what's going on in our world except by the power of the Spirit of God. It is the only way that we can face the challenges of these days. That's why it's not just a nice thing for the church to be in revival. It's a necessary thing that we be in revival, that we stay in the spirit of revival, that we're always experiencing the working and the moving of the Spirit of God, because we're dealing with a satanic age, a satanic spirit that wants to get at you, he wants to get at me, and he wants to bring about destruction. Amen. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Demon voices. I'm telling you, in the last couple of months, the enemy has come against me, talked to me throughout the night, tried to speak to me about hopelessness, about discouragement and lies of the enemy. And I have come to recognize that voice and to turn away from that voice and to call upon the name of the Lord. That voice that whispers hatred and bitterness, that voice that speaks hopelessness and despair into your heart, that is the enemy of your soul. He wants to tell you, your life doesn't matter. You might as well just give up. You might as well just come to the end of your life. All of that is the voice of the enemy. And it's the enemy trying to destroy what God wants to do in your life and through your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's read on here. Genesis chapter 6. Amen. God saw the wickedness of man. Verse 5. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's the generation that we're living in right now. That there's some new thing almost weekly that comes out, and some new wicked idea, some new wicked thing, something that the enemy has imagined and has come up with. I have to tell you, I'm not all that old. I'm going to be 64 years old here in a few weeks. But I can go back 20 years, 25 years, and even as a young person in the ministry, and there were things I never even thought about, it was never even an issue, but today it is an issue. Things that we're facing today, it is just the enemy is continually coming up with new evil imaginations, new and wicked ways. To tell you, I grew up in church. I grew up in the 70s when there's a whole lot of rebellion going on in the 70s. But I mean, something like gay marriage, I never even heard of such a thing as a young person. It never even crossed my path. And I know I was probably pretty well, protected. Something like that was never even something that I ever even was confronted with. Now it's a common thing. Now it's so common that this world the secular world, the ungodly world, not only do they want it to be common to us, they want us to accept it, to believe it as if it's the truth, as if it's a right way. And that's what we're faced with today. And it's always coming up with something new. It's only been in the last few years, three or four years, that I ever heard of things like transgender or gender identity. All this stuff. I've never heard of such a thing. What is it? What's going on in the world that we're living in right now? I tell you what's going on. Some new thing that the enemy is coming up with. Some new, from his evil imagination. God saw that the wickedness of man was great, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And as we move closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, the enemy is going to continue to introduce new and false and perverse ideas, things that are, just born right out of the pit of hell, wicked and evil things that you're going to hear about, and you're not even going to know, what does that mean? What are they talking about? It's going to be so far removed from our thinking and our understanding, because that's the generation that we're living in right now. And it's just like it was in the days of Noah. New devices to promote evil, born almost every day. The imaginations of the hearts, evil, changing, going further and further and further away from God, further away from the truths of God's word. Those are some of the things. But I gave to you, and I mentioned earlier, this wonderful and important verse. In the middle of all of that darkness, in the middle of all of that hopelessness, when God was saying, I'm going to give up, I'm going to destroy everything, and he repented that he created man. But the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise God. In the middle of all that's going on in our generation, there will be those that God is going to put his hand upon them. There will be those that are going to see the grace of God and receive the grace of God. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and good. 1 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So in a world that's secular, in a world that is antichrist, in a world just before the coming of the Lord, that's just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be that there will be a remnant of people that are coming into the kingdom of God. And the grace of God will reach down, and his grace and his favor will save them out of the midst of all of this darkness and wickedness. And that's why we have a call of God as the church to shine as a bright light in the midst of this perverse and crooked generation. That's why it's so essential that we be a place where there's a revival spirit that is burning, because people are in darkness. They are hopelessly lost. And the only hope is for them to see the grace of God and to receive the grace of God. Amen. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That tells me that God is searching. God is looking. He's looking for people. He's looking for those that will just turn their attention toward him. They'll just cry out to God. He's looking for those that will give him their life and take heed to the things that God has provided for them. Now let's look at Hebrews 11:7 here just for the last 5 minutes or so here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. I've already talked about accountability, but we need to be reminded and take notice of Noah, who took heed to the warnings that God spoke to him. He paid attention to the warnings. We need to pay attention to the times that we're living in right now and to the warnings that come. Sometimes they come from those spiritual authorities that God puts in your life. But God wants us to pay attention to the warnings that things are changing. The world that we're living in is changing. And he was warned of God of things not yet seen. He was warned of the judgment that was getting ready to fall. We need to be warned here tonight that Jesus is coming soon. The close of this church age is almost upon us. It's no time to be careless. It's no time to lay down your calling and your responsibility. It's time to step up. It's time to be faithful to God. It's time to give your all, whether you feel like it or not, whether you feel inspired or not. It's time to commit yourself to those things that are right. Even if those all around you are not, hold fast to the things of God and recognize that we're living on the precipice of the judgment of God and the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord will be a judgment for those who do not know Him and are not expecting His coming. For those of us that are born again, those of us that are expecting His return and are ready for it, it will not be a judgment, but it will be a wonderful day of blessing, a blessed hope, and the fulfillment of a wonderful hope that we have that Jesus is coming very, very soon. Glory be to God. And so Noah heeded the warning, even though he'd never seen it. Now listen to me. He lived in a world where it had never rained before, ever. He lived in a world where the scripture says in Genesis that all the waters came up from below like a subterranean spring system that came up. That's how the earth was watered. Read about it in Genesis chapter 5. That's the world he lived in. Never rained before, never been a thunderstorm. Likely not ever been any thunder or lightning. Certainly not a flood. But yet he believed God. He believed God to such a degree, he took the warning, and the Bible says he moved with fear. He moved with fear, and he obeyed the voice of the Lord, and he built the ark. Now, if you ever had a chance, last year, or actually Christmas before, when all of our family was in, before Kyle and Erica went to England, all of our family was in for Christmas. I don't remember if it was the day before or after Christmas. We took all of them and our grandkids up to that ark encounter and went through that. And as you're walking on the pathway, some of you have been there, this massive, massive ark that's there. And you recognize, how did Noah have so much faith? How did he have so much faith? But yet he believed God. He believed God. It had never rained before. He'd never experienced anything like God said was going to happen. How could he ever have believed that there was going to be a flood that was going to destroy the earth? But he believed God. He believed God. And he acted in the fear of the Lord. He moved with fear, it says. Oh, we need a revival of the fear of the Lord, don't we? A revival of the fear of the Lord, that there'd be a newfound reverence of the things that are godly, reverence of the Word of God, reverence of the house of God, a reverence of things that should be held in high esteem. We need a revival of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Verse 27 of chapter Proverbs 10, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. 14 and 26 in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Proverbs 14 and 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. On and on and on. The verses that describe the wonderful blessing and the benefit of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 15 and 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Proverbs 16 and 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 19 and 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, or produces life. On and on. There are many other verses that relate to the fear of the Lord. Lord, revive the spirit of reverence, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And he moved with fear and built the ark. He believed God. He understood that judgment was coming. He took hold of the reality of that and built this massive ark. You can imagine the ridicule that he received. Just like the ridicule of this generation that makes fun of the ark up there at Williamstown. I mean, reporters have come from all over the world to see it and to make fun of it. Characteristic of what was going on in the days of Noah. Making fun of the reality of truth of God's word. No one wants to face the fact that God is going to bring judgment on a society that is determined to disobey the voice of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says that he built the ark, being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Here's the thing that's been pressed on me in recent days as I was reading this and studying this. Are we doing all we can do to make sure that our loved ones and our family is in the ark? Are we? Are we doing all that we can do? I mean, I don't think we are. I don't think we are. Sure, we pray for them. Sure, we try to reach out to them. But facing the judgment of God, facing the times that we're living in right now, are we doing everything? He built an ark for the saving of his household, of his family. It was worth it. Even though no one else was willing to come into the ark, he preserved his own family. Are you doing everything that you can to preserve your family and to see them come in to the ark? You know, you can preach the gospel all of your life. If your family doesn't know the Lord, if they're not walking with God, then that's something that should grip your heart. That's something that should get a hold of your heart. And it should be the priority of your life to do whatever you have to do to preserve them from the judgment of God and get them in the ark of safety. Get them in the ark of safety. Many of you have family, brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, sons and daughters. You have loved ones that are away from the Lord. And I might just insert this right here. A lot of us have family that they make a profession of faith, but by their fruit they deny that they know God. By the way they live, they deny the reality. And so we don't want to just say, well, you know, they got saved some particular time in the past and we're glad that they did. But what about right now? What's going on in their life right now? Where do they stand with God right now? It's a serious, serious thing. And we need to take it to heart. And we need to understand that they need God. And they need to put God first in their life. This is a culture today, a religious culture, that says a little bit of God goes a long way. Just a little bit of the things of God. And then the rest of our life is consumed with what we want, consumed with what we think is important, the priorities that we have set, and we are not giving God much time. I don't want to face God with that kind of a priority. What about putting God first in your life? That nothing is more important to you than pleasing the Lord. Nothing is more important to you than pleasing the Lord. The Bible says that he moved with fear and he built an ark for the saving of his house. For the saving of his house. What about it? What about in your household? What about those that God has put within your reach, that you can pray for them. You can reach out to them. Amen. I've always been convinced that God many times saves someone in a family, and then he uses that person to be the catalyst that speaks to the others, that reaches to the others. I've seen that in my family. I've seen it in many other families, that God raises up that one or that few. You very well are that person. You very well are that few. And there's a great vast number of people that are in your household that they're going to be lost. They're not going to know God. And they're not ready to face judgment. And so we need to make it a priority of our life. Make it a priority. This is more important than anything. It's more important than money. It's more important than careers. It's more important than anything that the world has to offer. It's more important than possessions. It's more important than anything. Are you ready? Is your family ready to face God? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And as a result of that, then God used him to influence his family. And he built an ark for the saving of his household. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for this wonderful example in Scripture, Lord, that reminds us of where we are in these last days. Oh God, help us to put you first. Help us, Lord, to be honest about our standing with you. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us tonight to see the seriousness of the times that we're in right now. Oh God. Lord Jesus, truly we are living in the last moments of time. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Those are the things we're facing right now. And Lord, prepare our hearts. And Lord, may we find grace in your sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.